Extend a warm welcome to you to Liberty Church. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 5. I want to express my sincere gratitude to all of your pouring out of support in this last 2 weeks with my man passing away. It is much appreciated. And the Bible talks that when you give to a prophet, I'm not saying I'm a prophet this morning, but it says that when you give to a man of God, that you will receive a reward. And may you receive your reward from God. And it's a great thing when the church stands with the church. And I appreciate that. And I won't say any more unless you'll have me crying. And it's hard not to see these notes. But I wanted to say that. And I also wanted to say I appreciate so much all of those who took in some of the Belarusian kids this week, the kids from the orphanage. I think there was 35, I think, kids from the orphanage that had spent 2 weeks with families here and other families and other churches. But those who have helped in any way, those who have given, those particularly those who have took a child or children into the home the last 2 weeks from Liberty, will you please stand? There's Anne. Anne also had a little girl, Vicky. I'm sure there's others downstairs. Of course, I want to say, as the leader of Liberty, that I appreciate you. I appreciate you giving of your time and your energy, your home, your finances, your love, your touch, your smile, your breakfasts, your bellinis, your pancakes in the morning, all the spats. Or is it? What's bedtime? Spats. I want to say on behalf of us as a church, thank you very much. I want to tell you this. When you give to orphans, it doesn't go unnoticed in heaven. God said that this is true religion that you're living, is helping widows and orphans. And I'd like us, church, to give them a thanks, an appreciation. Because if it's not about this stuff, all we have is religion. If it's not about being the hands and feet, the arms of God, all we have is a stinking religion. And we never want to have that. We never want to settle for that in this church, amen? We never want that, so bula bus to all of you. So Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your blessing and your presence. And Jesus, you know what we're after is you in this place. Jesus, all we want is you, and all we want is what comes from your hand, Father. And Jesus, we want to be like you, and we just want to do the things that you do, and we want to be involved in the things that you're doing, Lord. And we want their testimonies not to be of 1,000 years ago, but of yesterday and tomorrow, Lord God, and today. We want their experiences of the love of God and the presence of God to be real to us, Father. And I thank you that you are meeting our need and you are satisfying our hunger, Lord. And I ask this day that you would continue to create in us a hunger for God, a hunger for righteousness, a hunger to express and to see the kingdom of God expressed in our city and in our lives, in our communities, and in our families, Lord. And I thank you that you're answering our prayers, Lord. Thank you, my God. Amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 8, you're at chapter 5, but in Luke chapter 8, Jesus called some of the disciples with him to go up to a mountain. And when he goes up to the mountain, in front of James, John, and Peter, Jesus' face transfigures into absolute glory and light and life. And then the disciples looked, and there was Moses and Elijah, who had come to converse with Jesus. And they were in this state of glory that the three disciples were looking in at and experiencing where Jesus had come from. That they were experiencing what was from his world in their world. And Peter said the classic thing. Peter says, I'm going to make houses, tents, tabernacles, one for Elijah, one for them, one for Moses, and one for you, Jesus, and we're going to stay here together. And we're going to be in, basking in this glory. Then the heavens ripped open, and God the Father speaks. And he says, this is my son. Now you can imagine and understand why Peter says, hey, we're staying here. God the Father, Moses, Elijah, Jesus, woo, we're staying here. And I used to, right after that, when Moses says, I'm going to make a house for us all, Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. And he went down, and there was a little kid down on the bottom of the mountain in his community that had a demon. That had a family attached. That had a community attached. That there was heartache and pain involved. And Jesus came down out of that mountain, and he started to deal and dispense the kingdom of God. So here, I'm going to show you what the glory is all about. And then the little kid got delivered. The little kid had no more torment anymore. And I used to always look at it because there's an element of the church that I've always looked at, and for some reason, had my attention around these scriptures, that there's those who want to just sit in church and behind stained glass windows, and they forget about the community that needs Jesus. And I was reading this recently, and I had those glasses on, and it was nearly like God took off those glasses, put on a new set of glasses, and I looked at the same scripture that I've read for 21 years nearly. And this is what I felt God saying to me, Noel, what Peter was doing was right, because I always thought he was wrong. He was making room for me. And see the weight that's on every Thursday, and see encountering it this Thursday evening. What we're doing is making room for God. God, here we are. Here's your people. We want to experience what these guys experience. Because this book is not closed. This book has not stopped being living and active. This book is alive. What they experience is still living. It's still ongoing. He was giving us a taste of what can be for those who diligently seek him. And I said, Jesus, why in the world did you bring those three disciples with you? Like, he's only after naming 12 of them, but out of them he calls Peter, James, John, come on with me. So when you want to, and you ask a question of the Bible, you have to find the answer in the Bible. Because the answer is there. The Bible interprets the Bible. So I went back to the beginning, and that's where we are this evening. And over these next couple of weeks, we're going to do a series on, all of it involves boats. The boats in the Bible have a lot to tell us. And the adventure that I want to, again, invite you upon and invite you on. The adventure that Jesus says, I'm going to do something and I want you to be partners with me in what I'm going to do. And the adventure that God brings us on is absolutely incredible. I always look at it like Indiana Jones. It's not always up. And you know, sometimes you take lumps and bumps and you get knocks and you fall and you scrape your knees. But it's not only about the journey. And most of us focus on the journey. And when things are not going well, we stop at a certain point in the journey. But it's not really about the journey. Enjoy the journey, experience the journey, live the journey. But it's the outcome that matters. And no matter how many bumps and lumps and bruises Indiana Jones got, he always got the thing at the end that he was after. And it's the same with us. Now, on this voyage, on this adventure, you will take knocks. There will be storms. There will be steps of faith you're going to have to take. And that's all part of the adventure. And I've noticed in these boat situations that James, Peter, and John was always involved. And maybe that's why Jesus called them with him. Maybe that's why they experienced the glory of God like the others didn't. Just maybes, I don't know. Peter was always quick to speak up, and maybe that's why he said, I need you to come with me. James and John, they went to a town, and because they didn't welcome Jesus in, they said, Jesus, you want me to call fire down on this town? Jesus rebuked them. He says, you're of a different spirit. I'm not here to judge the world. I'm not here to crease cities. I'm not here to bring my judgment on the earth right now. Which is incredible when you hear a lot of other preachers around the world saying that God is judging the world, where he said to the two disciples, you're not of the same spirit as me. Because Jesus is here to bring grace at this time. So that all could have a chance to come to repentance and to know God. So I don't get the judgment preachers. The Bible tells me that God judged Jesus for this world. But there is a day of judgment. Anyway, it was like Jesus rebuked them, but they believed they could have called him down fire. At least they believed, look, if we call it down, it's going to come. And Jesus rebuked them. And here's one of the stories. Well, welcome to the adventure. Chapter 5. Let's see where we go with this. It says, one day when Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down in the boat and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking to them, he said to Simon Peter, he says, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon Peter answered, but Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats. Both boats. Not boat boats. But both boats. So full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, Peter, James and John. So they pulled their boats up onto the shore, left everything they had, and followed Jesus. Incredible. That here was Jesus teaching the people about the kingdom of God, that someone made available their boat. It's amazing when you make something available to Jesus, what he will do with what you make available to him. Like what Eddie was saying. It's amazing what he can do with two little widow's mites. It's amazing what he can do with five loaves and two fishes. It's incredible. And he made his bow available, and Jesus used his bow to actually teach the word of God, the kingdom of God, to other people. And then when he was finished teaching them, he says, see, it's incredible that you give a little bow to Jesus, and he says, now have a big catch of fish for you. Incredible. You can't outgive him. You can't go, oh, well, here you go. And he gave it with the heart of, I don't care if I don't ever receive anything from God. And honestly, I don't care if I never receive anything. I've received. Amen. But the reality is, when you give to God, he gives back to you. It's just the reality of it. He's generous. He's kind. You can't outgive him. You'll never go to God and go, God, remember I done this, this, and this. And God can just say, remember I gave you bread for 50 years. Oh yeah, thanks, Lord. But anyway, when he made something available to Jesus, Jesus taught the people. And Jesus said to them, throw the nets over the other side. Throw them into the deep. You're going to have a catch. And he said that, look at Jesus, worst seasoned fishermen. You might have worked with the carpenter all those years, but we're fishermen. We've been out all night. We know what it is to fish. We know when to fish. We know collectively as a bunch of partners in our boats how to let the nets down, how to section off a whole section of this water, body of water with nets and then call them all in and whatever is in the middle of all of our nets, we're able to take in together. Jesus, we know what to do with the nets. You stick to the preaching. You stick maybe to a bit of carpentry, but Jesus, we're the fishermen. But he says, now, Jesus, we've been out all night. We've worked hard. We've struggled hard. But because you've said it, I will do it. And there's a key in the adventure that God brings you on. He says, because you said it, I will do it. And what took them all night, because Peter obeyed God, there was an acceleration from heaven released onto this earth. There was something of divine that Jesus said, let them down there, no, because you obeyed me. See, obedience is the key to seeing a release of an acceleration of God. What took them all night, Jesus accomplished in a minute. Because they said, yes, Lord. I preached this a couple of weeks ago. God puts on my heart again with a totally different scripture. There's an acceleration being released. What took 3 years is going to happen in 3 months. What took 3 months will happen in 3 weeks. What took 3 weeks will happen in 3 days. What took 3 days will happen in 3 hours. What took 3 hours will take 3 minutes. For those who will obey him. For those who will say, what, Lord, the nets are going out. What, Lord, here's my life. What's taken you years to pray for in your family can be accelerated in seconds. Your heart that has been broken for years, acceleration from heaven can release healing in seconds. Then you walk in the door one way and you walk out a totally different person. Jesus says, okay, Peter says, okay, Jesus. And an acceleration, a quickening, a speeding up of heaven was released. Wow. I think that's amazing. And although his request was, Jesus' request was natural, it wasn't logical to the fisherman. It was a natural thing to do, to throw the nets out to catch the fish. But not if you have to be out trying to catch the fish all of the night. It was natural when you started off, but it was illogical. And God has asked some of us to do things that seem illogical. And we've said, we've been out to the fishing all of the night, Jesus. I'm not doing that. And you know what? You haven't received your acceleration yet. As Captain Kirk said to Spock, to hell with logic. Sometimes we have to put logic aside if we know we've heard from God. And say, okay, Lord, it doesn't make sense to throw the nets out. It doesn't make sense to say this. It doesn't make sense to do this right now. But because you've said it, not Noel, not your own intellect or your own wishful thinking, but because I believe you've said this to me, Lord. It's natural to go around as a pastor and want to buy a building. I was trying to buy a building for 10 years. And one day I was praying for the building. The Lord says to me, if you had the money, what would you do? I said, go out and buy a building. He says, go out and buy the building as if you had the money. I said, Lord, maybe we go fishing in the morning. Truth. No mess. I'm not messing in any way. This is, so he says, what building would you like? And I said, the ice rink. Well, go on up. If you had the money, what would you do? You'd go up and view it. I didn't know how that worked. I never bought anything before like this. So I went up to the ice rink that used to be on Dolphin's Barn. And I walked in, I knew the bouncer. And I says, because if you're going to buy something, you have to view it, don't you? I says, can I look around the building? He goes, yeah, go on ahead now. So I went around looking at where we're going to have Sunday school, where the cafe was going to be, where the congregation was going to be. Yous are all going to be on ice if we would have gotten that one. But church on ice, there's a good one for the ushers. Taking the offering. Now back. And I walked out and I says to the bouncer guy I knew, he's from Fatima. I says, who do I need to go to see? I want to buy the building. And he laughed and he says, where will you get the money? He says, you've no money. Where would you get the money to buy this? And I says, my dad has loads of money. Which was true. Not my natural dad. I says, don't worry about the money. My father has lots of money. And he got me in contact with who we needed to get in contact with. And we nearly had that building. 350,000. I never forget it. But God didn't want us to have it. But he wanted to see, Noel, you're going to walk by logic or you're going to walk by faith? Are you going to believe I've said this? And if you've said this, and all them buildings came around to this building, our starter building. That's where it all came around to. That, all that was exercises. Exercises that, would you do it? Would you ask? Would you put your neck on the line? Would you put your reputation on the line? Whatever that is. Would you believe I've said something to you for a community? Would you believe I've put something in your heart? Will you put your neck on the line? Lord, it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it. It's part of the adventure when people go, where would you get the money for a noise shrink? What do you want the noise shrink for? I remember there was a fire in the ice rink. Someone rang me up out of flats. No, the ice rink is on fire because everyone knew I wanted this ice rink. And they were ringing me up saying, your poor ice rink. I was like, lovely, another 100,000 off the bill. That's all I was thinking, 250,000. But it's not always logical. And that boat became this to Peter. It was an exit out of an old way of thinking. And it was an entrance into a new adventure of life. And he could have decided, I'm going to stay, and I'm going to clean the fish, and I'm going to sell the fish, and I'm going to get up in the morning, clean the nets, and go back out fishing again. Or he could have said, what did he see in Jesus that he said, I'm leaving everything to follow him? What did he see in him? What was wrapped up in what Jesus done that he says, keep the fish, keep the bow, keep the nets, keep the lake, keep whatever you want. I am going to follow this man. I am going on the adventure that Jesus had. He used the bow as an entrance point into an adventure with God. That was incredible. Absolutely incredible. There was a divine revelation, a divine acceleration because he said, yes, Lord. Now there's people here and you've been given a word by God from years ago. And it's been in your heart. And you've been like Mary when the angel came and told she was going to give birth to Jesus. It says that those who were around are marveled. But it says Mary treasured it in her heart. Some stood back and went, whoa, that's a mad, crazy word. You're going to have a baby with no man involved. The sperma of God was going to give birth to the Messiah. Others stood in awe. Mary took and treasured it, another translation says. 30 years. Oh, she had Jesus. But 30 years for the fulfillment to see that word, to see the kingdom of God being dispensed by the Son of God. She pondered it. And some have been given words. And not what comes with a word is always a step of faith. It's not a word to sit back and marvel and throw sugar lumps at it. Remember, God gave me that 30 years ago. But there's always an application to the word of God. There's always a stepping out. There's always an action to the word of God. It could be seek my face. It could be give me your heart. It could be whatever. And some of us have just marveled at it. But I'm calling you today to not marvel at it. But that which is being treasured and placed in your heart is to start stepping out on it. And God says he will accelerate his work in you. He'll accelerate his work in you. He will accelerate his work in your life. The acceleration was a release of heaven. What took all night was released absolutely in seconds. And I think that's amazing. It's important to obey. Because that's the ignition. That's what gets the engine going. Is whatever God has said to you. Amen? And then Simon Peter comes and falls at Jesus' feet. I'm just amazed at this part. What did he see in Jesus that caused him to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm not right with God. He's seen some of Jesus' divine. He's seen the holiness of God. He's seen the purity of God that caused him to go, Jesus, will you get away from me? I'm a sinful man. And Jesus didn't reject him in his sinful state. He says, come on and follow me. Come on and follow me. No one's disqualified. See, everyone gets called. Everyone gets called. He calls us all out of the boat. Hey, you've been fishing there too long and it's never satisfied you. It's never ever rocked your boat. It's never ever brought life into you. You've tried this, that and the other. You've ventured places. You've gone on adventures and it's never satisfied you. Come on. But Lord, look at my background. Come on. Look at my boat. It's in bits. Come on. I've lived in this boat. I've gone, there's a smell of fish off me. Come on. Doesn't matter what your stink is. Come on. That's what he says. And he says it to you today. This is living and active, this word. He's still calling out. It's still alive. It's still calling Peter's and James and John's. It's still calling Mary's and Joseph's and Paddy's and Sean's. It's still calling that Ryan, by the way. He's still calling. He's still, but you're saying, but look at the state of me, boy. He doesn't see the state of you. He's looking, I know where you're at. Now I'm going to take you with me somewhere. And you're going to end up on a mountain where you're going to see me, Elijah, Moses, the Father. You're going to see the glory of God. You're not going to know yourself. No more sitting in the boat. I'm calling you out of your boat. I'm calling you to get out of your head. Out of the office. Out of the laptop up there. To download something new and fresh from heaven. That will bring life. And will cause you to be alive. So we see something in Jesus. He says, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. From now on, you'll bring heaven to earth. From now on, you will be a dispenser of my kingdom. From now on, I'm going to tell you things, show you things, and send you to do the things that I told you and showed you. That's what he was saying. Come on with me. I'm going to make you fishermen. Men. Men are going to come to know God because of you, Peter. Imagine all the rabbis looking at him. The fisherman? What's Jesus, the Son of God, calling fishermen for? Because he was saying to every single person that's ordinary, come on and follow me. And if those who thought you were extraordinary, if they'd have listened, he would have said to them, come on and follow me as well. But Peter seen something that caused him to say, I'm leaving everything to follow him. I'm going on an adventure. I'm going on an escapade. I'm going to do exploits. I'm going to explore. I'm going to live in the divine. We are entering into a season as a church, in a season of adventure. There's going to be new things. There's going to be things that God is going to ask of us, ask of you. And if you're obedient and throw your net out, you will see what they've seen in the Bible. You will see it. We're entering into a season where God will bring us into new places to do new things, to experience new things, that we are entering into that place where we're saying, Lord, the last 20 years, the last 10 years as a church has been marvelous. But we're leaving them with the boat because we want the next 10. We want the new ventures of God. We don't want to sit back and go, remember we got this building? This building will be a cloakroom when God is finished with this city. This place will be holding boxes and people's hats and filled for poor people. That's all this will be when God is finished. That we're entering into a new season. And these men looked and says, new season. Bye-bye fishermen, bye-bye fisher boats, bye-bye lake, bye-bye fish, bye-bye all nets, all of the things. We're going into a new season with God. And somebody who will accept and step into that will see new battles, new victories. Yet in every adventure there's storms. But there's a calm in the storms. There's a going through storms. Yet there will be battles, but there will also be excitement. Yes, there will be casualties, but there will be great breakthroughs. There will be a releasing of the kingdom of God in the season of adventure. There will be a releasing of pains that you've had for years. Releasing of healings and signs and wonders and divine visitation. And people coming to know him and families being restored. And young people being raised up. And generations being sent out. And missionaries being sent to foreign fields. It'd be a whole new deal. It'd be a whole new thing for those who will say, Lord, I'm leaving everything behind to go with you. It's nearly like saying to God, there's a blank piece of paper. Here's my name underneath it, Lord. You write the story, Jesus. You write the story, Jesus. It's like giving him a blank canvas. There's my name on it, Lord. This is my life. Now you paint the picture. That's what Simon Peter was doing when he left everything. He says, I'm not painting the scenery anymore. Jesus, there's my canvas, there's my life. You paint the Lord. Wherever you send me, I'll go, Lord. So stop writing your own story. Stop painting your own picture. But this morning, just write something, a blank piece of paper when you go home. As an act of faith, as a stepping out, and write your name underneath it and say, Jesus, it's all yours. You write your story of my life for my life. I'm sick and tired of writing my own stories. And most of us, we write. We write epitaphs. That's what we write. We write ourselves totally off. But Jesus never goes, okay, you want his story? You want his story to be your story? You're on. I can't think of the word. You've embarked first steps of an adventure that you would have never dreamed of in your own. You could have never painted the picture that he paints for you. The season of adventure. Someone reminded me recently that every time we prayed for the sick, someone reminded me, I remember Noel, like when you were young Christians, you camped outside the Mark up in James's because our friends were dying of HIV. And every time someone died, we went in and prayed for them when they were dead to get up. And we never seen the dead rise. But I tell you what, I want to be a visitor to the morgue again. That's the adventure of the new season. That we used to lay hands on everything that was sick. I remember a woman said, pray for me dog here, boy. There's a season that we're entering into. That there'll be a boldness that will come upon you. That you will say things and do things and act away on things of God that you've never acted on before. That someone in work will come to you and say, I have this problem. And you're going to say, I will pray and you will see an answer to it. You will be in acceleration when you step out. That someone says, I'm sick, come here till I pray for you. I tell you what, I've never met a sick person that has refused prayer. And if he doesn't get healed, they know you care. You move to the next person because you don't know the whole picture. You move to the next person. And the people go, look, I know they love you in that church. I know those Christians love because they care enough to pray. And the least they feel is love. But the Bible doesn't say love is the least. The Bible says the love is the greatest. So the greatest they feel is love. Moving out into the escapade, the exploits of God, into a new season, leaving the boat behind. And there was a huge thing in leaving the boat behind. I'll tell you why. It's tiresome to drag a boat around with you when you're following Jesus. It really is. It's absolutely tiresome. And that's why some of you are wrecked. Because you're dragging your past with you. And your past failures, they're in the net. And it's wore you out and it's robbed you of joy and it's robbed you of running with Jesus. It's robbed you of running with the horsemen. It's robbed you of, every time you go to do something, it fails. When the fish jumps up, remember me. Oh yeah, I'm no good. And you're back in the boat again. And then you start to make tracks again. You have the boat with you. I don't know why I'm limping, but I always limp. Every time I walk in this pulpit, I limp. I close my eye. But it's good for effect. But they left the boat behind because they knew it wasn't right to walk through the world with Jesus dragging the boat behind. You're supposed to leave that behind. And what happens when Peter failed Jesus, when the cock crowed 3 times? Do you know what he done in John chapter 21? He went back to the boat. And he goes back fishing again. No, but Jesus called you into an adventure. What? I'm back fishing. And if you retreated to the boat, get out of the boat. It's okay because even Peter done it. And Jesus rises from the dead and they're all out fishing. John chapter 21. Jesus stands. Jesus gas. He stands there and he goes, did you catch anything? He was risen from the dead. I think if I would have risen from the dead, I would have probably said something different. Like I conquered hell, death, and the grave. But Jesus knew how important that these guys living out the adventure was to our world. He knew how important that one person that says yes to God, what damage you can do to the kingdom of darkness. He knows what life he can release through you when you say, okay, Lord. Hey. And if you read, he goes, fellows, did you catch anything? They didn't know who he was. And he says, if you throw the net on the right-hand side, you will catch something. Oh, I have to read this to you. This is incredible. I have it here. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. You could imagine them. No. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul it in the net because of the large number of fish. that was in the net. Then the disciple who loved Jesus said to Peter, "That's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard this, "It's the Lord," he took out, wrapped up his outer garments. He jumped out of the boat into the water and ran all the way to Jesus. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, just a couple of hundred yards. Peter had gone back to the boat. Jesus said the connection from the call. See, the connection from the call. He said he called Peter, fisher of men, fisher of men. And after this, he commissioned him to the call. He called him with fish and he commissioned him with fish. He called him out of the boat and he commissioned him from the boat to go into the world and to win this world for God. My goodness, he could have made it a bit easier and say, win your street. But God's dream is so vast, so big, that it will take him to accomplish what he's putting in our hearts. Because if I could accomplish it, it's my dream. But his dreams are so big and so far beyond us that we can't do without him. I want to tell you this. Never again in the Bible, Peter never went back to the boat again. He never went back to the boat ever again. He left the boat for good. He left the comfort zone and went onto the adventure zone. He left what was there. He left every insecurity. He didn't stop being human because you see him being human. But he said, never again. Never again am I going back to that thing. That's a robber. I might make a living out of it, but I'm not alive doing it. And there's a huge difference. I might make a living and put bread on the table, but I'm not alive. But when I was walking with him, when I was running with Jesus, when I was experienced God, I'm alive. I am alive. That there's something about walking with God that brings the life of God. That you could work, you could have the biggest bank account, your biggest house, the biggest amount of friends, the biggest amount of successes in your life, but you can be still dead. But the smallest amongst us, the youngest amongst us, can walk with Jesus. And you're alive. I'm not talking about just living. I'm talking about you're actually alive. You're actually alive. That every fiber within you is alive. That there's so many wants to run away and escape. Whether it's pain or joy, don't run away and escape it. Live it. Enjoy it. It means you're alive. I banged my leg last week. I'm a huge, you wouldn't believe the bruise that I have on my leg because of a little bang. I'm alive. I'm alive. Even pain tells you're alive. If you have no pain, you're dead. If you have no pain in your heart, you haven't lived. If you've never been let down or disappointed in life, that means you're dead. The only ones that are not being disappointed are the dead ones. But all of this is part of living. All of this is being part of being alive. That, oh, Mary let me down. So what? You're alive. You can feel it, can't you? And we turn this thing around, and instead of putting more nets in the boat for more old fishes that says, remember, she let you down. Don't walk with Jesus. Get out of that church. They're all great. Yeah, okay, fish. I'm going to get in the net with you. And you're sitting down in the stink with all the fish. And all the rest of the Christians are like, we're fishing for men. We're fishing for those who have pain and sorrow and grief, and those who are in bits, and those who are up and out and down and out, and the princes and the prostitutes and the kings and the queens. That's who we're fishing for, not sitting with them. We're the hope. We're the ones that are saying, look, and leave your boat behind and come and found the life that we have found. And if you're not alive, why are you not alive? If you're not experiencing Jesus the way you should be, just ask why. Why am I not? I can't answer it for you. But if you don't ask the right question, you'll never get the right answer. Jesus, why am I not experienced? That's my question. I don't want to read this book. It's supposed to be alive. I want to see what God is doing. I want to see what they're seeing. I'd rather go home tonight. If I die tonight, there's nothing. I'm not going to see anything. Because I said, God, if I'm not going to see you in this world, I want to go home. So if I kick the book on the way home, this is it, guys. No, I'm joking. But I'm like, I'd rather die and be in heaven than to live on earth and not see the kingdom of God advance. I'd rather die and be buried and just get on with heaven and get on with eternity if I'm not going to see the presence of God. Because he's promised it to us. And if you sell for the boat, that's all you're ever going to have. And you sell for pain, that's all you're going to have. If you make friends with misery, your best mate will be misery. If you make friends with, this is all there is in life, that's all you're going to have in life. God has so much for us. I'm amazed at what God has for us. I'm amazed. There's pains for you to paint, and there's poems for you to write, and there's songs for you to sing, and dances for you to dance. There's ventures and worlds to be discovered and things to be discovered in God that only you can discover. That he has something incredible. And the more we say, see a bow, see a net, the more we step into this. And I believe God says, I'm bringing it into a season of adventure. I'm bringing it in that those who will say, I'm going with you, will go with him. And those who will go with him will see what the people seen in this word that went with him like we will go with him. That if you go with him like they went, you'll see what they seen. It's not rocket science. But it does take perseverance. And it does take stepping out in faith. And it does take getting on the potter's wheel and be healed so he can trust you with people's pain. It does take you to confront, why am I not experiencing these things? It does take that. It does take you to search your heart. It does take them things. Believe me, this adventure costs. But there's no bit, what I want to tell you, it just costs them things that bring death. And then things are confronted so life can be brought. You're on an adventure, guys. And let's pray. You know, I read this week, and I've no qualms about this, but it struck a chord in me. I actually read it, not this week gone, but the week before, and read it again this week. But in the box, in the prayer box, if you have a prayer need, please write them in the box, put them in the box, and we'll pray for them. Or stand before God with all your prayer requests. I release God's peace and presence on you. I release God's healing. I stand in the gap for you. I stand release in heaven. And on the other side, there's a praise report. And if you had something good that God has done, please tell us. Not because I want to know my prayers are being answered. I know my prayers are being answered. So that we can say, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Do more. This testimony of your goodness is a prophecy of what you'll do tomorrow, of what you'll do again and again and again. And what's on that side will be on that side. And then you get encouraged, and then you go and you say to your friends, have you got any prayer needs? We'll pray for you. Because you're looking at the praise. And I looked at one and I said, pray for my sister, I think it was. And I said this, and please pray that I have the strength to give up smoking. Now, it might seem innocuous, but not to that person. But I want to tell you, it is robbing you, and it will rob you of the adventure. Because you can't speak freedom to anyone if you're not free. You can't release freedom if you're not experiencing the freedom in areas. You know, you can say, oh, I remember Mary Jane got healed. I remember Mary Jane got delivered. I remember such and such stopped. But how weak is that? In one sense, his power, once I was blind, now I can see. Once I was this, but now I'm not. Once this had a hold of me, now it's not. See, adventure is to conquer things. The adventure is to you to put your foot on things and say, I'm the victor. That's the power. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And there's anything in it in the area of addiction that is robbing you, this is the day. This is the day, the believer in the bow. And for some, it will be instant. You will have supernatural strength. And then there's going to be others, and you won't have supernatural strength. You will have grace to overcome it. And this is where I believe God would say to you. He will give you the grace to overcome it in private so you can have a platform to declare your victories in public. He will allow you to overcome that in private Meaning, it's not going to be a big whiz thing. It will be a continuous thing. It will be time when it knocks at your door and you go, you don't live here anymore. It will time when you feel weak and vulnerable and the one thing you want to do is the thing you don't want to do. You get me? And you'll have the grace to say, I don't live there anymore. And what you conquer in private, God will bring you out onto a platform in public to declare what he's done in your life. For some, it will be instant. And that's not only just cigarettes. It just struck me. I'm like, this is a robber. Don't make friends with robbers. Don't welcome them into your life because all they do is steal. They're kleptomaniacs. They can't help themselves. They're designed to rob you. And you have life here and robbers here. And we invite the robbers into our life. Lifestyle. Wrong lifestyles are not friends. They're robbers of the adventure. Sin is not a friend. Sin is it brings death. Insecurities. They're not your friend. They're thieves. And someone's going to have to overcome them privately so that God will give you a public platform. I want to tell you guys, I know how it works. I'm 21 years. I've been on the potter's wheel and I've been on the blacksmith's anvil. I know what it is to get things smoothed out and I know what it is to get lumps knocked out of me. I know what it is to have sparks fly off me because God wants to use you. I know what it is when you experience his love and kind hands and the same hands put you on an anvil. And he takes his hammer to you and he forges you into a sword that can be a weapon in his hand. That this potter's hands are soft and kind and heals us and brings us. But he does that and the same hands can be trusted on the anvil. And he takes the metal of your life and he bangs it and makes it into a sword that can be used for the forgings of his kingdom. I know what it is to run away from God. I know what it is to get in a bow. Crying out loud, I used to rent them out. I wanted to make it a house bow. But I know what it is to walk with God. I know what it is to be welcomed on the adventure of God. And I want to tell you, everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. In fact, it does stink. So whatever is holding you, someone will have instantaneous deliverance. But I want to tell you, the things that I have conquered in my life and have instead conquered is the ones that I've conquered them weekly, daily, sometimes hourly, by the grace of God. And if you ask me which ones would I like, I take the deliverance every time. But I want to know, I'll tell you what makes me a man of God. It's the daily ones. Because my dependence is on him. Let's pray. I know I said that 10 minutes ago. But God has other things to say. And Lord, we want to say we love you. And we love your adventure. And I thank you for the possibilities that are in this room presented before you, Lord. I thank you for the lives. I thank you for the individuals. I thank you for the lives that they have lived and experienced. I thank you, Father God, for the plans and purposes you have over each life, Father God. Who's going to paint the picture of your life? Some of us are young. I see all of our young girls here and over here. Who's going to paint the pictures of your life? Who's designing your life? Who's fashioning this is the way you should go? Is it me? Am I going to just design my own life? Am I going to let my community? Am I going to let my background? Who's designing? You may be 50, 60 years of age. Who's painting the rest of your life? I'll just get myself a little fishing boat. There's a time to fish, but not as a lifestyle, as a hobby. Who's painting it? Who's writing the rest of your story? Our story has to be his story. So what's the story? What's the story? What's the story? What is the story? The story has to be his story, or else it's our story. It's his story that brings his glory. It's his story that brings the glory. So, Father, I pray for your great people. And I just thank you for speaking into our hearts. I thank you, Father God, for the challenge of your word. I thank you, Lord God, for the Father, whatever they seen in you, Lord, to leave the boats behind. Will you let individuals see that? Will you let us see that collectively and as individuals? I'm following Jesus. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Lord, what have you asked us to do as individuals? And we have marveled at it instead of acted upon it. That we think it's resigned to yesteryear. Lord, I ask that you bring that treasure to the top right now. And you remind people. You remind them of your word, of your ministry, of your promise to them, of your adventure for them. Mom, I don't want you to stand in awe of that anymore. I want you to take it out and to see it accelerated. So, Lord, I release your acceleration. I release, Lord God, your spirit, Lord, to take those things and to speed them up in your acceleration. I release your people, oh God, to see where they're at and to see who's calling them and where to go, Lord. That, Lord God, that you said in the Bible in John 21, it says that they caught a large net full of fish. That God wants to make your nets larger. He wants to give you bigger fish to fry. He wants to put a bigger frying pan in your hand. He wants to put something in so your capacity to receive more and bigger is there available. That the adventure of catching bigger, going broader, going longer. That the adventure of God would be released in your life. Guys, I don't know how to preach and not ask for a response. I think that's daft. Tell you something and not give you an opportunity. And some may need to take and ponder. That's fair enough. But if you could close your eyes, just to give yourself space and to get the person beside you out of your line, to just make a private between you and God. And say, if it's in your heart to say stuff, Lord, I'm not making excuses anymore, Lord. I'm not letting the boat be my house. I'm not letting it be the place that I live in and live from. I'm stepping out of the boat and I'm going to walk with you, Lord. And Jesus, I ask that you would lay out the red carpet to each one and say, welcome to the adventure. Welcome to adventure world. And I release ears to hear God. And I release your eyes to see him. And I release your heart to conceive the things of God. And I release a boldness upon your life to act out what God has called you to do. I release a strength of deliverance. I release the power of God. I speak deliverance over you into your life of those things that bring death. I release the grace of God into your life to overcome those things. I release you from insecurities. I release you from the shackles of addiction. I release you from the mindset of this is my lot in life. I release you from any friends you've made with an enemy in Jesus' name. I release you as a captive to thoughts and to memories. I release you from disappointments and letdowns in the name of Jesus. I release you from alcoholism. I release you from addiction. I release you from nicotine. I release healing into your body, into your mind, into your heart. I release life. I release life. I release strength into your feet to walk. to run, to soar, to overcome in the name of Jesus.